Okay, if they don't want those drones shot down, they've got to paint them partly cloudy. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, music icon Ben Sidran performs, and there's a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who can't do the crazy legs run due to the crazy discs, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. Boy, oh, yeah, a big run today. Yep. Well, we'll get this. We'll get you there in a second. Is it started? Do they start running yet?
It's over.
Oh, it's over. Another year. Well, in the news then, that isn't. George W. Bush becomes the first C-plus English student with his own library. That's pretty exciting. Actually, Mr. Bush was thrown out of the George W. Bush Presidential Library for horsing around during the ceremony. So, some things never change. The big hit at the library was the flight jacket and the victory banner display. That was a big draw. The Hall of Bad Bathroom Art drew a lot of people. The only Iraq item actually was Saddam Hussein's Zippo lighter. I sort of glanced over that old thing. They do have a little biodiesel converter you can feed switchgrass into, though. That was kind of cool. That was Bush innovation. Nice to see Barney again, though. He's there, little dog. Okay. In other news, the TSA knife policy on hold after the mumbly peg incident in the break room. Mumbly peg, anyone?
Yes.
One, you know, mumbly peg? Oh, yeah, you're missing a finger, I see. The air controllers are back, but now the pilots are furloughed. One thing or another. TSA is out, too, but they will get invasive on their downtime if you want them to. The Associated Press was hacked, but how smart was it to use Ass Press for a password? Like, that's the first thing I'd try. You too?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh. Bill Clinton is on Twitter now, immediately followed by at Monica Lewinsky. Oh. There's a timely rejoinder. Yeah. Mortgages are down to 2.6%. If I thought I had 15 years, I'd get one. Darn. Democrats streaming down the ropes from the sinking ship of state. They're trying to get out. At a traffic stop, Reese Witherspoon gets the only cop who hasn't seen Legally Blonde. Or Blonde 2. Thatcher tomb found vacant with rock rolled back. More at 10. Elvis leaves federal building. Mime all but confesses in the Rison case. He was dumbshowed, as Miranda writes. That was something to see. Durable goods plunge as people don't expect things to last. The NRAARP for old gunslingers. Thank you. I thought that was pretty good, too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Old gunslingers. Pretty good. Not bad. Gold is down, so I guess I'll keep the fillings. The White House science fair has been called off due to a castor bean project. The French approve mariage anglais. That's what they call it. Okay, that goes then. Was it my pronunciation? You think it was the pronunciation? No, it was the joke. Syria says chemicals actually lasso for the broadleaf. Now I know this is not working. Lasso for the broadleaf. That kills them here most of the time. A lot of broadleaf.
Fertilizer jokes.
Yeah, fertilizer and pesticide, insecticide jokes.
Roundup.
I should have said Roundup. Roundup. Should I try it with Roundup? No. Roundup. Sirius says chemical is actually Roundup for the broadleaf. How many of you prefer Lasso to Roundup? Roundup? Oh, God. Overwhelming. Overwhelming. Justin's career spin as pundits calling him Amy Winebieber. Took a lot of work on that for like an hour. Looks like it's the Syrian Electronic Army versus People's Liberation Army Unit 61398 in the hacker finals. Too long and no payoff. I get you. If there are WMDs in Syria, time to invade Iran. Huh? Let's see. They're still looking for a nice home for Manti. Teo. Can't call him Manti. You got to call him Manti Teo all the time. It's annoying. Non-union ding-dongs shall never pass these lips. I'm just saying, editorial will mark it as such. Clenching of the fists helps both IQ and BM in a recent study. Monkeys understand the more obvious social gestures such as red rump in the face and fecal hurling in another study, financed by you, of course. Koala chlamydia is what happens when everyone wants to hug you. And finally, all this cutting edge stuff. I know, it's too much. It's true, though. There is an epidemic of koala chlamydia. I read it. It's amazing. In the new Guys and Dolls, Channing Tatum, a natural for Nicely, Nicely Johnson. Thank you so much. And good night. Don't shake your head, sir. Are you shaking your head involuntarily? Thank you very much. And good to see you. Nicely, Nicely Johnson. Channing Tatum, come on. Give me a break on that. Nicely, Nicely. Okay, how are you? Fine? Good?
Yeah.
You have to leave that seat.
I have to get up.
Leave the piano. Leave the piano at this time. Do not look back. Ben Sidran is joining us today. We're very excited to have him here. He's a friend and neighbor, and he's the original space cowboy. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, Mr. Ben Sidran, joining us on our stage right now as he ascends the stage, ascending the stage. He's jogging to the stage. He jogged all the way past the stage, and he's leaving the building now. Space cowboy has left the building. Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You did write that, didn't you? Space Cowboy.
Yeah, I am the Space Cowboy.
And the Gangster of Love. And Maurice. All those people.
Yeah, I don't know where to go. You're so fast. And
do you believe in the pompousness of love?
I can tell you what the pompousness of love is. Okay, everybody wants to know. The pompousness of love is nothing. It's a made-up term. You see, it goes
pompas
back
from the pampas in Argentina, right?
Nothing to do with
little
Argentina.
Pompas.
Everything to do with a mishearing of the word puppitudes by Steve Miller.
Puppitudes.
I know that reveals less than we knew when we started. But
There is a puppitude?
I mean, it's a made-up word based on a made-up word, and that's rock and roll. That's what rock and roll is. Yeah. It's made up.
Does he have a hearing problem, Steve Miller? He probably does after all these years.
Well, if he has a hearing problem, it's because there's so much cash stuffed in his ears. You know, that would slow anybody down.
But you're still getting residuals on that one, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm in Fat City on the Space Cowboy front.
Gangster of Love.
Gangster of Love.
Now, where did that, the origin of Gangster of Love, is that?
Johnny Guitar Watson, this great guitar player out of Texas.
Really, yeah. Okay.
He was the Gangster of Love. See, Steve Miller, God bless him, is a genius at appropriating good ideas.
Yeah. And but you wrote the words, didn't you?
I wrote the words for Space Cowboy. This is true, but we're trying to forget it and live it down. And here, every time I show up, I have to live it up.
And who was the Space Cowboy then?
Well, I'm the Space Cowboy.
You're the Space Cowboy.
You're the Space
Cowboy.
We are all
Maurice?
The Space Cowboy.
Who is Maurice?
Maurice is this kind of smarmy guy with the pencil mustache that's hanging out in front of the bar saying, Right this way, suckers. Step right up. That's
Maurice.
Maurice, yeah. Hey, see, now you know everything you need to know about the Space Cowboy. Right. You can forget about
it. We can drop that, I guess.
I just want to say how brave a person you are to come up here and do these monologues, these jokes. Yeah.
That are so bad?
You mean, no, it's not that they're good or bad, but to be...
Well, thank you very much for that.
No.
You and your pompous. You're being a little pompous.
Yeah. Okay, you got me.
Don't Cry for No Hipster from the album Double Negative.
Right.
New one from Ben Sidran.
Don't Cry for No Hipster.
Don't Cry for No Hipster.
My people. They all have a copy. It's brilliant.
From the album Artificial Hipster.
That's good. Now that's good.
The older hipster has now got the
Is the artificial hipster.
Yes.
Wow.
Hipster.
That's deep.
Do we still have hipsters? Concept of hipsterism.
Well, we're the sons of the Dharma bums, you and I.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
The actual hipsters that you see now in Williamsburg with the small hats and the thin ties, those are
in
fashion
Brooklyn.
Hipsters. Those are not hipsters. Hipsters that go back to Lord Buckley and Del Close and these great comic talents, they're gone. Yeah.
Well, and all the poets.
And the B poets. And the jazz musicians.
And the jazz guys.
I mean, Mesro. What about Harry the Hipster Gibson? Who remembers him anymore?
I don't know.
No, you don't know.
No,
nor do I.
I
could have made that up. Who would know?
It's like this Maurice guy you keep talking about.
He might be working with Maurice even now. But the hipster.
But you made this in Brooklyn, though. Did you? Were you surrounded by artificial
hipsters? I made this
hipsters?
CD in Brooklyn to prove a point that you can go anywhere and find hipsters. But if you go to Williamsburg, you're going to find some pretty good musicians too. And these are young Williamsburg musicians that my son, who you'll recall, used to live here in Madison. Now he lives
Leo.
Leo, yeah, he lives in.
Did you forget his name?
No, I didn't forget his name. He put this band.
I mean, you say my son, who you recall. They didn't mention his name.
I was waiting for you.
I thought that was odd. That's all. I'm sorry.
Well, I was setting you up for your.
Leo used to come.
There it is.
I did a show.
There it is.
I did a show from Dolly's Fine Foods, my first radio show, really, on Williamson Street, and not Williamsburg.
No.
And Leo, on his way to grade school.
No, daycare. On his way to the Red Caboose Daycare
Center.
Can I
tell my story and you tell your story? We'll make a separation. Your stories are on this side, man. He was on his way to that school down there. That was not daycare. He might have done daycare, too. Anyhow, he used to come on the way to school, stop in, get on the radio, and do shtick. He was pretty good. And then let him go. He had to get there for the bell.
Right.
The bell rang, and that was Leo. Now he's a big producer.
Now he's a record producer. And a music producer. Does commercials.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Cool. What's he done recently? His biggest recent commercial.
His biggest recent commercial, I think he did a Ford commercial. He did a Visa commercial recently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Which one did he do?
I couldn't tell you. I
could be a little more proud of what he did. Do you have a picture of his Visa commercial in your wallet or anything?
No, I have a Visa card in my wallet, and I'm proud that he can pay his rent.
Can I see your Visa card?
He's paying the rent.
Yeah. Can I see your Visa card for just a moment, please?
Absolutely.
I want to see if your name is actually on it, or if it says Maurice or something on there.
We're going to
have to cut this in half.
I'm hoping this is not a Nigerian scam I've just gotten involved in.
I
hope I didn't just win $12 million, and all I have to do is give you my Visa card.
Yes. Yes.
May I say something about this hipster concept?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I think that this is going to be sweeping the nation. I think that... I think I've finally written my first significant hit song.
Yeah.
It's not Don't Cry for No Hipster, which everybody in the room knows and loves already.
Because that actually means in double negatives. It means cry for a hipster.
Well, you're the English teacher. I don't know.
It's disturbing.
It is disturbing. But that's the hip thing about it. See, the
double negatives.
The question's more important than the answers where we come from. Yeah. We like good questions. And so I wrote this song that I'm going to play today called Back Nine.
Sometime today.
Sometime when you let me play.
If I get to it,
it's called Back Nine, because I feel so many of us are on the back nine now.
Yeah, it's the first one.
Right? We're on the back nine.
It's a golfing thing?
Well, it's a golfing metaphor, but it means much more than that. It means here we are. If we're not having fun now, when are we going to have fun? If we're not enjoying ourselves, you know, and they say, you know, people of a certain age.
Yeah.
And I used to
think... Of an uncertain age is what I think.
Exactly. Yes. You see, when you become of a certain age...
Yes.
That means I'm certain of my age.
Ah.
Right. It's the uncertain age, those young wannabe hipsters that maybe don't know how old they are. But I know how.
I don't understand.
Did that make any sense?
No, it made no sense.
But you could have used it in your monologue.
But you got the song in there, and that's the important thing. It's back nine, and then...
Don't even try. If any of you wind up in this chair, don't even try.
So this is... did you write all these? No, there's a couple things you didn't write here, because I noticed that 16 Tons you didn't write.
I didn't write Tennessee Ernie's hit, 16 Tons, yeah.
Can you do a hip 16 tons?
Yeah, I got one.
How do you do that?
Well, you just kind of approach it with a hip attitude.
Yeah.
And
for those of us who don't have that, how does one, you know, get there?
Well, you know, it's a lot like what Fats Waller said when asked about jazz. If you don't know by now, lady, don't mess with it. I mean, if you're not...
Was he talking about the music, or is he talking about something else?
Well, he could have been talking about what's the hip attitude, or he could have been talking about something else, or I could have made this up. I don't know. It's so early in the morning.
Fats Waller was so great. You know, it's cool. They actually had films of him playing a song, almost like videos. Did you ever see those Fats Waller?
They're wonderful.
The movies?
Yeah.
Unbelievably great.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like playing something off here? This is the new album, isn't it? Don't Cry for No Hipster.
Don't Cry for No Hipster. And I would love to play Back Nine for these wonderful people.
Oh.
May I do that?
Would you please? Ben Sidran, ladies and gentlemen.
God, it's like Festivus up there. You got to survive the test of Michael Feldman just to get here. Oh, baby.
I made my way to the back nine. They call me the Iron Man. Watching out for the sand traps, formulating my plan out on the back nine. I know how to do my thing. Traded in the five spot for a new kind of club, but I still maintain my swing. Life ain't nothing but fine out on a back nine. Out on a back nine. I'm laying back on a back nine. The hustle still my thing. Driving for show in the hole for dough. You know they call me the rhythm king out on a back nine. Well, it's a hazard just to be alive. Still having fun with the old pitch and run, but now the score ain't nothing but jive. Got the bird on my mind out on a back nine. I'm out on a back nine. Life is good on a back nine. The view from the clubhouse turn. Running the changes on the driving ranges and waiting for the grass to burn out on a back nine. That's where everything is up and in. You got the caddy for daddy. You got the glide in your stride. You got the grin spreading across your chin. Life ain't nothing but fine out on a back nine. Back nine, out on a back nine. What I really dig about the back nine, you get to drive these little cars around. Love the little cars. I saw a guy, I swear this is true. He had air conditioning in his golf cart.
air conditioning. Man was loud and proud. And then, of course, every few minutes, cart comes up. Very nice young lady offers you something to drink. What could possibly go wrong? A beautiful walk, spoiled by a small white ball. Life ain't nothing but fine out on the back nine.
Whoa.
Thank you.
So is that about golf or what?
There's some golf references.
Or
there.
Something else.
Yeah, no, it's about golf. But it's about as we age, we get better. We get better. You know, this
at
whole
some
thing.
Some things, maybe.
Well, that's true. Okay, I'll give you that.
Story
it's not
telling,
everything.
Maybe, I don't know.
But this whole world of tweeting and twittering and facing and Facebooking and stuff.
Yeah, don't you do
know,
it?
Well, you know, that's we're what's, above that radar.
What's your handle, man? I'll follow you.
Oh, my goodness. See, you just scared me to death right there.
Yeah.
No,
well,
we don't
CB
have
radio
that.
Talk, is it? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that shows you.
Are you on CB radio?
Are we off the CB radio?
Yeah.
Breaker.
Good buddy.
We got a convoy.
Yeah. Now all those guys are texting now instead of being on there. That must be dying out, huh? In Plano, I bet they still do it. No, they got the CB radios going?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, in Plano. That's about it, though.
Yeah.
So, you do like a hip Game of Thrones, too? Anything like that? Could you hit that up?
Well, I mean, I could do 16 tons. That's kind of like a hip Game of Thrones.
Yeah? You want to do that? Or can you do one more? You got time?
I'll do another one, sure.
I know you got lawn care and
no,
stuff.
No, I got lawn care on my mind.
What do you want to do?
This is a song about life in the fast lane. You know, people have the price of everything and the value of nothing at all. Success is often illusion. When you get it, generally confusion. So this is a way of saying, how's that new car working out for you? I hear you got it in baby blue. Now all the boys are hoogling after you. Of course, so are the police and the gangsters too. With a car like that, what could possibly go wrong? Brand new music, same old song. Well, looka here. Here comes the boss. Say, boss, how's that new job working out for you? I hear you buying money and you selling money too. Oh, matter of fact, your dreams are coming true. Everybody out there is hoogling after you. With a job like that, what could possibly go wrong? Brand new music, same old song. Say, now, how's that new girl working out for you? Man, she's long and tall. She's nasty, too. Got all the boys hoogling after you. You might not know this, but she's my old lady, too. But, hey, with a girl like that, what could possibly go wrong? Brand new music, same old song. See? Thank you. Say, how are those new friends working out for you? I understand you got lawyers, politicians, too. Oh, they know how to have fun. That much is true. Nothing but smoke and ashes when those boys are through. With friends like that, what could possibly go wrong? Brand new music, same old song. I said, brand new music, same old, same old. Brand new music.
Ben Sidran.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank
for
you,
PRI,
my hipster
Public
friends.
Public Radio International.
Thank you. Don't cry for no hipster.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? We're back. I didn't get to look at the cards.
He's got my microphone. Things are falling apart.
Just wing it. Just go out
you
there.
You hipster. Oh. What about that hipster on the bass there? Jeff Hammond, huh? Very nice. Don't cry for no bass player. He's good. And thanks. Thanks, Ben, wherever you went. I didn't have a chance to look through your cards, so I'm just going to do them in order, if that's okay. I should mention you because it is your birthday.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said I should mention you because it is your birthday.
See, I'm listening to something else.
What is it exactly, you know?
I'm trying to figure out why my son sent me tickets to this show.
So you're not here under your own free will?
Well, more or less. I decided I wanted to accept them.
Okay. You don't want to reject them because that could send them back.
At this point.
No. Send them back to adolescence or something.
I'm too old for that.
No. Not you, him, I think.
Oh, I, you know, he is too.
Rejected by the father, sends him right back into acting out.
I don't want to discourage him.
Yeah, what did he turn out to be?
What did he turn out to be? Big man. Yes, big man.
What field is he in?
Computer programmer.
Oh, they all are, aren't they? What is with it? What do we do that we have just computer programmers for children? Huh?
What do we do without them?
What do we do with them? I mean, I don't do that much, you know.
Nothing I can do with them.
No. What field are you in or were you in?
I guess real estate.
Oh, real estate. Yeah. Okay.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Are you a golfer? The back nine there that register with you?
No, it doesn't register.
I forgot to ask your name. Can you give me that?
How soon do you need to know?
I like your attitude. And happy birthday.
Thank you much. Thank
we
you.
We have a little something for you, whatever your name is, what for his birthday.
Well, he can welcome the Russells of Spring with bottles of Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé, superb wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Give me some wines there. Is that okay?
Can you use that? Do I have to wait?
You can open them here if you want. I don't think we have them here, though, do we? You have to go out there to Prairie de Sac and get
yes,
them?
Yes, that's right. I think so.
Okay. They'll send them to you, maybe.
I'll try to wait.
Okay. Now, can you tell me your name? Give me a first name.
Lowell.
Lowell is good. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Lowell. Happy birthday. That's all I want from you, Lowell. You had your chance. You blew it. What can I tell you? Tuna mush times C. What? John O'Murray. Does that mean anything, John?
Yeah, that's a pizza art.
Oh, it's a...
Lent.
salmon snapper or a mackerel snapper back in the 60s?
Wait a second. This guy is yelling obscenities at me, I think, and I'm going to find out. I think he just called me a mackerel snapper, and I'm going to find out why. Stand up there, would you please? I want to see how tall you really are. Okay, that's good enough.
No, we joyfully referred to ourselves as salmon snappers or mackerel snappers if, in fact, we were of the Roman persuasion.
Okay.
And on Friday, we would resort to fish. And so if you are
talking down to me, I understand. You don't have to talk that slow, number one.
Oh, I'm trying to enunciate. Nevertheless, we would order, it was at Helgi's Bar, Superior, Wisconsin. And so if you were a bartender, you had to order pizzas for the riffraff that came in. And we would write down such things as tuna mushroom double cheese. And then those of us...
Tuna pizza?
Oh, excellent. Fantastic. Believe it or not.
Just during Lent? You serve them the rest of the year?
Yeah, just during Lent. You wouldn't... it was pepperoni.
Did you get any muskrat pizzas?
No. Everything was hairless.
Those are the days. Oh, okay.
Indeed.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you,
because,
John Marie.
Because I want you to have all the credit you need for that. Right. Thank you, John. That really explained a lot of things. Okay. All right. They're just doing these in order now. There's no logic to any of this. Dennis Gritsmacher. Hey. Okay. Lucky you, Dennis. Try not to look so excited. Your card actually has nothing on it, but I thought I would talk to you anyway because you were next. And this is very democratic. This is why democracies work so well. You mind standing up a little bit? Everyone's a little reluctant, I noticed, today, except for O'Malley here. It was O'Malley, wasn't it? Yeah, O'Murray, pardon me. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
How are things? Pretty good?
I'm doing all right.
Yep. Not running in the race, I noticed.
No, I didn't know about it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know about it either. That's why I'm on. You ever run in one of those?
No.
No. Not even if you knew about it, you wouldn't?
I could.
Do you do any running, or...
Yeah, I do some.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Just like for a bus or something like that?
No, I usually, I don't take the bus.
No, I don't mean that you did. I wasn't trying to.
No, that's fine.
But if you're late for an appointment, you might run?
Yeah, I could do that.
What do you do for exercise? Do you anything? You got a stationary bike or anything?
I got a treadmill that sits in the living room.
You have a treadmill in the living room? Do you use it?
About four times.
Four times a week or a lifetime?
I've used it about four times.
How did it get in the living room then? Did you think you were going to use it?
Yeah, we put it in the living room because that's where the TV and everything was.
Yeah.
You know. So we could use it while we watch TV.
But. Yes. Is this we? How are you?
Good.
How are you? I'm sorry, but we're getting at something here, I feel, and it's important.
All right.
So you were going to do the treadmill thing.
Yeah.
And then you did it a couple times and...
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't what you hoped it would be?
Well, I don't know. It's got to be used more, I think.
Yeah, it does. It's better that way. Plus, you don't get anywhere on a treadmill. Do you notice that?
Yeah, I know.
It's too much like a metaphor for life to me to be on a treadmill. You know, I'm on a treadmill. I don't need to actually be on one.
That's right.
But you look fit, though.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You do any yoga or anything like that?
No. I go to the gym once a week.
Oh, you do? You're okay. And what do you do there at the gym?
We do the weight machines. And.
You wait for the machines, or you actually do the weight machines?
Sometimes I have to wait, yeah.
Yeah,
other people are using them, so you have to wait.
Excellent. And today, you got plans for today, or...?
Yeah, we're going to go try to do the Capital Brewing tour.
The run? The Capital Brew run?
No, Capital Brewing.
Tour? Just the tour?
The tour, yeah.
You've never seen a brewery before, or you never...
I've seen lots of breweries.
Well, it's just another feather in your cap.
Well, I brew my own beer, too.
Oh, you do? What kind? Do you make a stout?
I have never made a stout, but cream ale.
Cream ale is good.
Yeah.
How long does that take to get your cream ale going?
You can have beer ready in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And you can do it while on the treadmill. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, you probably could.
But. Really good shape. Well, very nice talking with you.
All right.
I'm sorry for disturbing you. I noticed you're kind of settled in there. Dennis Gritzmacher from Milwaukee. I'm from Milwaukee, too, Dennis. Yeah, what part of town are you from?
West Dallas.
West Dallas? Yeah, we don't go out that far. West Dallas. Like, I'm going to go all the way out to West Dallas. Ridiculous. It's way out there. The boonies. Barbara Gritzmacher. Oh, okay. We'll let you go. Because, how are we doing time-wise, all right?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Okay. Sean Piotr. Is that right? Because he wrote it out here and it says Sean. Is it Piotr? Okay, it is. See, I don't make these things up. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good. How come you're not running? You look like a fit young man.
Because I don't need a run. I don't know.
You don't need no run?
I don't need no run. I'm just fit.
Yeah. Do you do that kind of running stuff?
No, I bike.
Oh, you're a bike. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you're got the Trek thing on here, and God, you got your
right.
Bike clips on your shoes. I mean, obviously, you're a biker. I got to be more observant.
Yes, you do.
I hate myself for not being more observant. That's good. And what do you do in life as we know it?
I work for Trek Travel. I'm a logistics manager.
See, there you go. He's a bike. What am I? I'm so embarrassed. Hey. Logistics. What is logistics as far as Trek? You get the bikes to people?
Yes, exactly. I make sure everybody has all the equipment they need. Yep.
Every individual. So if I buy a Trek bike, you will be calling on me to make sure I've got everything I need?
No, we run travel vacations, basically. So if you want to go and ride a bike in Tuscany, you can come with us for a week, and we've got the bike.
Italy?
Tuscany, Italy, or the wine country in
Verona, Wisconsin, you do that?
Not yet. Maybe we'll get there.
Something to think about. Something to shoot for. You know, well, that's really cool.
Thanks.
So you get to travel to Tuscany to make sure they got their clips and all that stuff, and the seats okay?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Good job. How'd you get this job?
I got lucky.
Can you get me in there? Because this thing can't last much longer.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Sean. Well, that's good news, too. Okay.
All right.
Sean Piotr. And all the Piotrs are here. Is that your brother, then, Tom? Tom? Hardwood floor? Oh, that's your dad. He looks so young. See?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
So you're done with those hardwood floors, huh? You're done with that?
Well, I'm semi-retired. That's what I do. Yeah. I install, sand, and finish.
Oh, you still do it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
66 years old, and I'm still doing that.
Still doing floors.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never gets old.
No, that's what I like.
I bet you have your own style for floors, right? Start a certain pattern or something?
Yeah, well, I used to train installers for the National Hardwood Flooring Association in how to install, sand, and finish. So I had my own company, Historic Floors, Oshkosh Design, that made medallions and
I feel bad for the guys who went into softwood floors, though, you know.
Yeah, not too many of those out there.
Oh man, for a while it seemed like that was the way to go, softwood floor.
But that's what they called somebody like me in to redo those floors. So that's what I do.
That's what you do in retirement. You do what you did when you were working
and play racquetball every morning at 5:30 and. Anything else?
You go on one of these Trek.
Yeah, we do.
Has he fixed you up on a Trek?
He has set Mom and I up with the bikes, and we do that. Yes.
He's giving you the bikes, but does he give you?
Well, he's shown us how to do it, but no. We'll do that.
Come on, this is your dad here. You're still doing the floors.
Yes.
The floors made you what you are today. Okay. Well, very nice to meet you.
Well, nice
Thanks
to meet
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
Let's hear it. The man who's still doing in retirement what he did all these years and does it better than anyone else. We're talking hardwood floors. Okay, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do here. Lyle, what are you doing out of your little booth? You wandering around again? We find him wandering around all the time. That's Lyle Anderson. He's going to be on later with us. He's the Carillon guy who does the magic in the Carillon. Well, we got to play the One You Know quiz, chance for a fabulous prize. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. The four disclaimers we have today.
Brad Clausen.
Brad, you want to face them or you want to show them that part? Okay.
Okay.
Here, take that.
All right. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. My crazy legs ain't that crazy. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Oh, man. Stop. Look at the size of his phone. I hate to judge a guy by the size of his phone, but that's one big phone he's got there in that holster. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. A chance for you to be fat. Yes, your hand was up first. Yes, that's right. And I respect that. That's initiative. That's what we need more of in this country, is initiative. How are you?
I'm good.
And you are?
I'm Anna. I'm from Madison. What else do you want to know?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not from here. I live here. But
you live here? Where are you from originally?
Michigan.
Okay. What brought you here then, Anna?
No, I don't. Well, I went to Beloit, and then I liked Wisconsin, and so I came back. So,
well, Anna, what you got to do is give me one good reason you should play this quiz. I'm sure you have one.
Well, my parents are here, and I want to make them proud, which is what all kids want to do, right?
Where are they? Which ones are they? Oh, they're the proud-looking ones. Oh, you already got them. Walk this way, if you would. I'll show you how to do it. Stride here, and then I like to turn this way. Maximum steerage. Yes. Oh, very nice. A little spin. I don't usually do that. Oh, okay.
What? I do. Just sit here? Okay.
Yeah, you just sit there. You don't have to say anything even if you don't want to. I don't care.
Perfect.
It's really good. So what are you doing these days, Anna?
I'm working. I work for a medical software company.
Medical software is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major medical software company, a large, huge one?
A rather large one, yeah.
of epic proportions?
Pretty, yeah, they're pretty epic.
Good place to work, from what I hear.
It is, it's pretty good. Yeah, I like it.
Is that what you were trained in school?
Or? Not at all. I was a history major.
Well, you got to do something with that.
Right, exactly.
Because history is past, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, unless we repeat it and all that kind of stuff.
We try not to.
What in history was your specialty?
I did mid-19th century United States social history, the Civil War era.
Interesting.
Stuff.
So, yeah. Yeah. Did you try to get work in the Civil War era? Or
it was a little hard. Yeah.
Better than medieval, I suppose.
But yeah, could, slightly more comfortable, yeah. But yeah.
Okay. And then how are things otherwise?
They're good. Good. Yeah.
Not still living at home or anything, are you?
Right, no.
So that's good.
Yes, it is good.
That's good.
And it's warm and sunny in Madison, so that's always nice.
Which is rare. Always rare.
For real.
The weather got applause.
That's all we talk about.
I love it when the weather gets applause. All right, you know how the quiz works? Someone out there plays along with you?
I do.
You can't possibly lose. I don't think anyone...
Let's hope not.
I can't remember anyone losing in recent times. Unless they really annoy me, then they lose. I don't know how that happens. Otherwise, just give them. You know, it's pretty. But they'll be very proud of you. They're proud of you already, though. So they don't have to be. And how are you doing there, Sarah?
I'm doing good.
That's good. Are you still cold? You're always dressed
up. It's always cold in here. Nobody else has a coat on. But
no.
Yes.
Yes.
It's often cold in here.
You could have thin blood. Have you tried Geritol?
Thanks.
Spelled backwards is Lordagog. So, okay.
So people might want to play the quiz.
Yeah.
At home.
I was just thinking
somewhere.
That too.
Yeah.
How do they do that though?
If they would like to play the quiz, they pick up their phone, cellular or otherwise, and dial 1-800-942-5669 and you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, thank you so much for mentioning that.
Yes. That number again is 1-800-942-5669.
We need a percentage here. This is the percentage of the American public who say random choices from the phone book would be better than our current Congress. Random choices from phone book better than our current Congress. We need a percentage of Americans who accept that statement and would say it rather loudly in most cases. So within how many percent, Edges?
Within 5%.
Okay, fine. Are you asking me or are you telling me? And on a down note, if you're telling me.
Within 5%, yes.
Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. Brian's on the line here from, Salisbury, Maryland. Okay, Brian.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Did we catch you at a bad time?
No, perfect.
Oh, good. Got any plans for tonight? Or?
Well, no plans for tonight.
No? Did you have plans for last night and didn't do them, or what?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No ball games or anything? Or?
Oh, I watch the ball games, the baseball games.
Who do you watch, Brian?
I watch the Yankees and the Orioles.
And you're an Orioles fan, I presume?
Yes.
Yeah. And how are they looking this year?
They're looking pretty good. Yeah. Much better than we thought.
Well, we did. I didn't know we thought that in the first place.
Yeah. Well,
Brian, no, I need a percentage from you, Brian. That this is
70%?
70%?
Yes.
I'm going to accept that because I think this is too low. The number they gave me here. Okay, that's good. Got to be at least 70%. Come on. Take people random out of the phone book. They said 43%, but that's obviously a misprint. And I like you, Brian, and, you know, you're an Orioles fan, so that's cool. Brian, this is Anna.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Anna.
And she's a history buff, trained in history and also in software, medical software.
I'm a jack of all trades.
She does it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brian, what's your expertise in, Brian?
I'm a pastor.
Okay.
So I have no expertise.
Okay, no. You have...
Well, I was just going to say we got all bases covered then.
Yes, so. Pretty good. We got the spiritual and the intellectual and the historical.
Right.
Very good. So two of you work as a team and collaborate on this, and then we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
And Father Brian?
Yes.
Reverend Brian?
Brian's fine.
Brian is fine. I call you Brian then, but I feel a little odd doing it. Would you like the first category? What would you like?
Current events.
Current events right out of the news. Let's see if it is. What is the Obama's tattoo policy? Just announced. It's regard to their own children, I guess, but they have a definite tattoo policy, and they're sticking to it. Probably read about this.
I would
this.
Say none. Yeah, what do you think, Anna? They have...
Wait, so this is their policy, like, for their children?
Yes, to affect their children's choice on tattooing. They have a policy in place. The tattoo policy. Any idea? You didn't hear that?
I apparently did not hear this.
Okay, Brian, you didn't
hear it? I didn't hear it either.
Okay. They said they would get matching ones themselves if their daughters were thinking about it. So that pretty much stops any kid from wanting a tattoo.
That's right.
That's very smart, actually, but that would be...
Zero right and one wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Don't worry about it. We'll come back from that. Did you hear that he didn't? Then what's
sorry,
right
Mom
there?
Dad.
The categories remaining are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Let's do school.
School, okay. Should have learned this in school. Maybe not. Let's see. What's the difference between forensics and forensics?
Oh. So, well, there's the one where you are, like, public speaking, and then there's the one where you're... solving crimes or whatever, right?
Right.
Brian, you want to weigh in on that? Is that pretty much it?
I agree.
Which one is forensics, then?
The first one.
The first one? Okay, we can accept that. Yeah, that's pretty much covers it. Okay. Forensics. There's forensics and there's forensics. Okay.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right. Brian, back to you.
Let's try science.
Science. So you guys, is it today when you write sermons?
No, I write my sermons on Mondays.
After you give them?
After I gave the last one. I try to correct it.
That's a good policy. Do male moths go by first impressions or take the time to get to know the female? Male moths. So we're talking about European corn borers in particular, but I think it applies to moths in general, and males in general, possibly. Do male moths go by first impressions?
I would guess first impressions.
First impressions.
I'll go with that.
Yes, first impressions. One whiff of the pheromone, and they know all they need to.
Right.
At least the corn borers do. And
that's two right and one wrong.
Okay. Well, what's left there, Sarah?
People, places, or odds and ends?
Okay.
Oh, odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. The stink bug. Major problem now, stink bug. Does it feed just on the sour gum, mostly your grains, or on over 100 different crops?
What was the first one?
I think over 100 different crops.
Sorghum. Sorghum.
Sorghum?
Sorghum. Sorghum.
Yeah, whatever.
Sorghum. What?
How do you say it?
Sorghum. The stink bug. Do they... I'm sorry. The stink bug, do they feed on just the sorghum? Mostly on your grains? Or over 100 different kinds of crops? The stink bug.
I would think it'd have to be over 100 different types of crops because I've got them in my backyard.
I got them too. Yeah.
I was going to say, they pretty much seem to be everywhere, so I would not be surprised if it was over 100.
The omnipresent stink bug.
Yeah.
That's right. Holy cow. Oh, that was so easy. They won, didn't they?
They have won, yes.
Shouldn't we make this harder?
Well, sometimes you make it harder and sometimes you make it easier. It's all in your hands. Shall
That's
I tell them?
What she said. I know.
Shall I tell them what they want?
Oh, yes. Why don't you do that?
Okay.
That would be an excellent idea. Most excellent.
Anna, you can continue to expand your mental prowess with 2 Wonder Word puzzle books, a Puzzle Society crossword book, and a subscription to the Puzzle Society online from Universal UClick. Brian, you'll enjoy mild yet lively coffee every morning with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend, and in the afternoon, relax with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrazú from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can proclaim flavor and diversity in a T-shirt with the splashy rainbow cone logo of Big Gay Ice Cream of New York City, and laugh even as you learn a thing or two with the book What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know, by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Cool. Thanks.
Anna,
thank you.
Are you proud of her or what? They were already. You know? Thanks, Anna, very much. Hang on, Brian. A second. You should be ready. You should be ready for those cues.
Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this era of What Do You Know, Lyle leaves the booth to talk about his Game of Thrones viral video, plus thanks for the memos and another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who was hoping to attend his 46th Mifflin Street block party, it's Michael Feldman.
No block party. Oh, man, bummer. I was hoping Paul Sagan would get arrested at this block party, just for the old time's sake, you know? Gosh, that's a bad thing. Well, you know, each week at this time, we get an actual memo sent in by actual listener.
That's true.
That's right. And here, this from last week, you know, we had the woman who played the quiz, Diane. Their car broke down. They drove all the way from Missouri. And their car broke down here, and so she said to her husband, "Can you take care of the car because I want to go to the show?" So she came here, but meanwhile he was there trying to get the car fixed. And so here's the upshot of that, because we were worried about him. I was a quiz contestant on April 20th who was from Missouri and had car trouble. I'm happy to report that thanks to some nice people in Madison, the car was repaired during the show, and we're able to get home as planned. A big shout out to O'Reilly's Auto Parts in East Washington, who diagnosed the problem, and Zimbrick Buick, who worked us in on a Saturday morning. All the people in the audience wished me good luck, and one lady even asked me if I needed a ride somewhere. We all know how nice people of Wisconsin, my husband's home state, are, and this proves it. Sincerely, Diane Ayers. So they got back. I was concerned about them. And how about this here now? We have documentation on you, Lowell. Thought you'd get away, didn't you? We know a little more than your first name now. So happy birthday and a shout out to Lowell Nordling. You admit being Lowell Nordling? All right. In attendance at the 4/27 show, Lowell turned 82 on 4/26, or 26 on 8/24. I don't know. I'm not sure. You're either 82 or 26. Attending the show is much younger bride, Trudy. Much younger bride, Trudy, everyone. And there you have it. Now, who sent this? This came by anonymous. Any idea who might have sent that? You did? He's an interesting guy, that little, you know. He's got something up his sleeve. Oh, in the actual memos, well, we got some little ones here. Let's do a couple of these here. Due to the threat of severe weather, the statewide tornado drill that was scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed until Friday. Get a lot of those for some reason. I don't know. Inclement weather, they always say that. Or incontinent weather other times. Here's an IT department in a large medical organization. Regular memos about changes in electronic records from a large electronic record medical place somewhere we can't speak of. This one is, for the record, leech dispensing. The Department of Pharmacy is now handling the dispensing of leeches. The leech order care set has been updated to include a new leech treatment pharmacy dispense order to prompt dispensing. How does one dispense a leech? Carefully, I would think. Continue to use the leech therapy patient care order as now to prompt nursing documentation. No tasks will appear on the medication order, but additional leech kits can be requested using the additional med request function. The leech treatment pharmacy order now requires certain new order details, a picture of the electronic page here that shows where the leech goes and how often. Okay, well, okay, that's not really a memo or anything. That's just weird. Then there's this one. Where is this from? Well, it was in the inbox somewhere, a wildlife agency. Just a reminder to all staff, the refrigerator in the break room is for staff food only, not for specimens. Any specimens currently in the unit will be disposed of by the end of the day. But how can you tell the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between specimens and the average lunch? There you have it. That's an actual memo sent in by actual listeners. Okay, a bonus, this one here. Managers, please share this message with employees. The moving sidewalks, both the up and down side, went down today. The down sidewalk will be repaired and will be placed in the up running position. The up sidewalk will remain down until the necessary parts to repair the issue are received and installed in approximately 3 weeks. We apologize for any inconveniences. And this came from someone on the downside, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Where can they send all this stuff?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yeah. And if they want to just reach us and anything they want, anything.
Same thing, whatdoyouknow@wpr.org.
Yeah.
And snail mail, there's an option too.
Snail mail?
Yes.
Do you ever use it yourself?
Occasionally. I receive bills via snail mail.
But do you ever write a letter?
I do, actually. Postcards. I'm a big fan of postcards, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, send them in.
Yeah. So when, how, and where?
821 University Avenue, mm-hmm. Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know, thanks for the memos, or whatever other subject line.
Do they have to supply their own stationery?
They do, and their own postage.
Okay, very good. Now, what if they're on the Twitters?
On the Twitters, yes. Yeah. If they would like to follow you, your handle is @MyFeldman. The show has a handle, too.
That's nice. Yeah. I like to hear about it sometime. Okay. Let's bring them out here without further ado. Come on, you got to come out on stage. Come out from your booth. Lyle Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, the Carolyn Neuer of the University of Wisconsin, who has gone viral with the big hit Games of Thrones on Carillon Bells. This is him. We've had him all this time. We didn't know what we had, ladies and gentlemen. He's sitting in that booth. He answers the phones and stuff, and I know he's got some other jobs. And Carolyn Neuer or East, which do you prefer?
I always use Carolyn Neuer, but people in Michigan, California use Carolyn East a lot.
East or Ist?
Ist.
Ist, no Ist. E on the end?
No E.
Is it E, if it's a female, Carolyn?
No, it's still an Ist.
Is no matter what?
I have no idea why that is.
Is there two camps, basically? Or an Ist?
No, nobody uses East. They all use Ist. But, I mean, Carolyn Neuer, Carolyn Ist.
I mean, or an Ist.
Michigan, they often say Carolinist, and in California, they say Carolinist.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, Caroliner.
Can we just drop that?
All right. We'll move on. I don't like sitting here.
No, I know. You're a little uncomfortable in public.
It's
you're
much
usually
more comfortable over there.
Usually in a tower or in a booth here.
Exactly.
People can't see you. Is that tower heated, by the way?
Yes, it is.
It is?
It was originally heated by electrical heaters, and they didn't work very well. But in the 1960s, they put steam heat.
Steam heat?
Steam heat.
Ooh, we got steam heat.
Yep.
That's good now. Does it hiss while you're playing?
No.
Does that bother you in performance?
No. It. I mean, it's the steam is down below, and then it.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd bring your little. Don't you have a little Carillon training board? Didn't I see you with one time? You had a little thing with.
No.
What?
Explain what a Carillon is.
Yes, maybe let's go back here.
A Carillon is basically just a big piano.
Really big.
Yes.
Really big piano.
A really big
piano. But there are bells on the end of it.
Yes. So instead of felt hammers striking wires to produce sound like the piano here, it's clappers striking bells. But otherwise, it's the same mechanism.
As clappers will.
As clappers will. Exactly. Yes.
Are bells, the bells here special? Bells must be important to you.
Yes. Special, I don't know. Special, but they're...
Do we have unusually nice bells?
We do.
Are they larger than other people's bells?
No.
Are they,
it's a very fine, I don't know, in the... Yes, there's two ways of gauging...
at least, I would think.
No, of size. Number of bells and then the weight of the... Of all of them,
which do you look at first?
Neither.
You don't care about those things.
No, but I mean the quality of the set of bells is important, and the particular set of bells that we have here is very good. I mean, it's
where were they originally forged?
In England, the first set of bells, the 1936. It's mentioned in all the articles about this little thing, the video. I'll mention 1936, but that was the original set of bells. And then it was expanded by a set of bells from France.
France.
And then...
How did they get along with the English bells?
They got along very well, but then a Dutch company came along and took away all the French bells.
Oh, no.
And
where are the French bells now?
Well, they're kind of dispersed.
They went just hither and yon?
Yeah, they did.
Hither and thither?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But and there are people that, you know, lament that, they replaced the... French bells with these Dutch bells.
Why did they do that, these Dutch people?
Because they had a better idea. They had developed a way of making very small bells loud, which was a technological...
impossibility for many
years. Well, it was a difficulty in the early part of the century. The physics...
The Dutch could do it, though, right? I mean, Dutch...
with the help of computers and things in the 1970s, developed this.
That's when it happened? The French bells left in the 70s?
Well, 60s, yeah.
60s.
Yeah.
It's along with all the turmoil on campus, this was going on in the Carillon.
Exactly. The 60s, and then the new bells came in 72. So now the set of bells, the 56, are just English bells and Dutch bells.
English bells and Dutch bells. Are the Dutch bells mostly the higher-end bells, smaller bells?
No, they're the five of the biggest bells and the
That you've ever seen, or what?
No.
The biggest ones are Dutch.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm a little confused on there, but I thought the French bells you said were
because
the higher end ones or the smaller ones were louder, so maybe they think they're bigger than they actually are.
No, I don't think they do, but they're loud.
Yeah, do you have to actually deal with the bells themselves? I mean, you play the thing, and let's go on exactly what the thing is. It's an unusual looking thing, but you don't have to do anything like upkeep or anything or oil them. Tap them every so often.
No, it's made to be an outdoor instrument, so it's made very sturdy and meant to resist the elements.
We're getting to the good part.
You're leaving in droves. No.
No.
Okay. Where were we?
But can a bell go out of tune?
No, it cannot go out of tune. It's tuned.
What about the weather? Wouldn't that affect it?
Apparently it doesn't, because bells have been physically studied a lot about various kinds of things that can happen to them over the centuries, like acid rain can wash off too much metal, and then that drives them out of tune.
But missiles and bombs and things. Bells have been bombed over the years, I bet.
Yes, World War II was kind of hard on the bells in all through Europe, and a lot of them
for whom the bells tolled. They tolled for themselves in a lot of cases. Ironically enough,
but otherwise, they're when they leave the factory, that's where they how they're tuned and made.
Factory bells.
Yeah, the factory installed bells.
They ever crack or anything? They don't crack probably too.
They'll only crack if they have engineering flaws in the first place. That's what happened to the Liberty Bell. It wasn't well made. It wasn't cooled right or something else.
Nice looking, but
exactly, but not
And, of course, the big threat to bells in general are these electronics now. A lot of things are electronics. We go to electronics now with bells, and how do you feel about that?
Well, the The professional guild of Carolineers in North America has always, you know, much resented all the kind of electronic emissions.
Do you go to the conventions on those?
Yes.
The guild conventions?
Yes. It will be in St. Paul the third week of June this year. Oh. So,
fun crowd?
Oh, always.
Carolineers and NISTs?
It's like a big dysfunctional family because we all know each other, and so it's... conventions are like
a... Is there a lot of infighting and backstabbing and backbiting among Carolineers?
Just like anybody.
Okay. Nothing particular. Now, this whole thing now, you've gone viral.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I feel infectious.
How did this whole thing... Now, you're a big Game of Thrones fan, I'm sure.
And had never heard of it before.
No.
But last October,
yes,
I got an email from John Lucas in UW Communications. Mm-hmm. He had heard me play, I guess, which is his office is just on across the street from the bell tower. So
he's heard it.
So he's here. He hears me whenever I play.
He hears it
weekdays.
From the bowels up, probably.
Because they're in the basement of Bascom Hall.
Yeah, all right. Oh, geez.
And anyway, I guess he heard.
Ground zero for the Caroline.
There's a nice arrangement of Perfect Day of Lou Reed that I played last fall.
Yeah,
and he heard that.
That's cool.
And he said, you know what, Game of Thrones, which I first read, I thought, oh, it's a Game of Thorns, but anyway.
It is if you watch it. It's terrible.
But anyway, this was last October, and he said, well, how about, and he also forwarded a link to a musical score that I just got off the internet for violin and piano. And I said, well, I think about it.
Did you have to transpose it?
No,
four
I did.
Four bells?
No, I did very little messing around with it.
Did you bring the music?
I do have it back in the booth.
Oh,
but
okay, forget about it.
It's just
not worth looking at.
It just looks like music.
I was hoping you'd bring it.
Looks good on the radio. I don't know. But
so it was pretty much all ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I looked at it again, in connection with another project that the UW was doing, somebody in the news department of university was coming over, and I thought he was going to do a videotape, but it turned out that thing was just still photography. So the idea of doing a new song would be a little lost on that concept. Right. That day.
Did you have to listen to the tune a few times before you got the gist of it, or did you pick it up just looking at the music?
No. I listened to the, it's easily gotten on the internet in various ways.
As a piece of music, how would you rate it?
It's a nice piece of music. You know.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And there's lots of versions, already lots of covers, versions out there. There's like one for two banjos.
Can you do that, too? You got your...
I didn't hear that one, but there's a lot of piano versions. There's a version for flute. There's
Who knew?
Yeah, for violin and for cello. Cello, the main melody is done by cello in the original, so to speak,
so
in the show.
Who handles that? Which of the bells handles that in your version?
This one in the violin and piano part, the violin, so it's in the soprano. And it's basic. It's a very simple construction. It's just this,
it's a little repetitive.
Repetitive bass, and then the melody comes in, and that's pretty much it. Two and a half minutes.
Repetitive?
No, what are you getting at there?
I don't know what
you're thinking.
I'm trying to sound like I know
something
else.
At all. Anyway, yeah.
Recitative?
No,
all right, so without further ado, you want to say anything about this?
Set it up? No.
Who wrote it, by the way? Who's the writer?
Ramin Djawadi.
Oh.
He's a German.
No.
German and Iranian.
Really? Okay.
And he's written a lot of stuff.
And this, if you were walking around here the other day, but you get
last
to hear,
Friday.
You get to hear the clicks and stuff because they were actually up there with you, and that's a little disturbing.
Well, that's just because it was recorded. I think he used mostly. We did two takes, and then Peter Kleppen recorded some outdoor things. I played it again when he was outside, but I don't think he used a lot of that sound.
No.
So that's why there's a bit of the sound of the action. So it wasn't made within much of a view to have a very high-end, high-definition sound. It was just what came with the
really
video camera.
Knocked a lot of people's socks off. Let's hear that right now. Crank it up.
louder. Lyle Anderson on the carillon at the University of Wisconsin with the theme from Game of Thrones. Thanks, Lyle. You can go back and do a little hold on. He's so self-effacing. He's the only guy who gets any press associated with the show. Lyle gets it on. Every year he's got a bell story, and now he's viral. There'll be no talking to him after this. Now that he's gone viral. So that was very nice, actually. And what a wonderful feature of the UW campus.
Yeah. Lyle's been doing that for a long time.
Oh, yeah, since he was a lad. They actually raised them from...
since he was in short pants.
It's like the castrati singers or something. They take little boys and they
not quite them like as, that.
But no, no, not in that sense. But I'm saying they take them...
Lock them in bell towers.
Very young. They pick them out. And then they raise them to be carillonneurs or ists. No, he's been doing it for quite a while, though. That's true. Thanks, Lyle. Appreciate it. Okay, where are we now?
Now I think maybe the guys want to play a tune.
You want to follow that? Whoa. You got anything to follow that?
Yeah. He's probably going to play this one on carillon soon.
Yeah, what's this one?
It's called Stablemates.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
That was so good it should have been on air. Okay. Are you all pretty good now? You survived the bells and everything? Some people have an aversion to bells. Anyone here who had an aversion to bells? I had to sit here. You do, sir? Oh, it's clinical, isn't it? I know your case. It's documented. Okay. You'll be all right, though. Kathy Anderson is a retired teacher and active gardener. How are you coping with rabbit damage? Do you mean damage to the rabbits or elsewhere? Is that you?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you having a lot of rabbit damage?
We have terrible rabbit damage.
It's terrible.
It's not where I put cages around them.
No.
No. But otherwise, they...
Well, you can't, you know, it's, you can't shoot them and you can't live with them. Or is that something else?
Well, I always felt you shouldn't shoot them, and but now I'm.
You have to read them their Miranda rights first before you actually, and then take it, then draw a bead on them.
I'm getting tired.
Rabbit rights, I guess it would be.
Yes. I'm getting tired of them living under my deck and eating all my flowers and plants. So.
Well, huh?
It was a bad year for rabbit damage.
Yeah, bad year for rabbit damage. Okay. I don't know what to say on behalf of the rabbits. They got to earn a living too. They're cute.
Yeah, they're cute. And they're very active right now.
And the squirrels, we give them free rein, don't we?
Yeah, but they don't eat all the flowers.
Well, I've seen squirrels eat pretty much anything at a certain point.
A lot of the birds.
They get a better press than the rabbits do. I admit it's a problem. What about this? Brad Schultzer is a fenestration inspector. And what is fenestration? Huh? Huh? Your time, Brad.
Oh, thank you.
You always been this tall, or is it recent?
No, I've always been this tall. Thank you.
Yes. Tall family? Are you the shortest in your family?
No, by far the tallest.
You are?
Yes.
That's reassuring. Anyway, they made you play ball, I suppose. You had to play, what did you be, middle linebacker or something like that?
No, I did not play ball. My vertical is measured in matchstick widths.
I got news for you. You haven't looked down recently, have you?
So.
And you're from Plano?
Yeah, that's correct. Plano, Texas, yes. Yeah.
Everything's down there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Weather good? Any?
No, the weather's just fine.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit cool, but.
A little cool as in?
50s, 60s.
Yeah, I hate that. That's our highs out here. I resent that.
Well, it was nice to come back and have one more round of snow on Thursday morning. Yeah. That was very pleasant.
There wasn't a lot of it, though. Sure. Fenestration. I know what that is. What is that?
Okay. Fenestration is from the Latin word fenestrae, which means the circular
spells,
canal of the inner ear. And now it means anything put into an opening of a building. So it's windows,
like
doors.
Yourself would be included if you.
If I was installed, yes. Then I would
if you're an opening, you've fenestrated.
Right. Or if you throw something through a window, you've defenestrated.
Someone.
Someone, something.
Whatever you say, I'm not going to argue with you. Because okay. You're thin as a pencil, but you're a tall pencil. And your question was about the pencils here, but let's forget about that. And so is that a good job? Are you doing it for the city, or how does that work?
No, I'm actually, the company that I work for is contracted by a trade association. And so there's a lot of travel involved. I was actually here in Wausau for several days performing
the fenestration?
Actually, the labs that test the fenestration.
There are lab tests for fenestration? See if fenestration has occurred?
Right.
Well, is there a kit or something you get? I mean, what? I don't understand that.
Okay. Companies that make windows or doors, they actually send specimens to accredited laboratories.
They send specimens to see if fenestration has occurred?
Right. Well, they samples of the windows. And
okay.
So there are ways to evaluate the performance of the windows based on its ability to resist air or water penetration.
Is that water penetration the biggest enemy of fenestration?
It depends on the location. Not so much in Arizona, but yes, other parts of the country, there's bigger.
Other parts of the window.
Water's tested for all of them regardless of the installation.
Is this true of all, like double hung as well as regular hung?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, single hung, double hung.
Do you have a personal favorite? Well, it's a great job, and I'm sure you're great at it because you get to travel on it. That's a good deal.
Yeah. The parallel opening sash window would probably be my current favorite.
Yeah. Do they still have the weights in them like they used to have, weights and
not
pulleys?
Anymore. No, it's either a coil or a counterbalance. It's not a lead weight on a rope as they were 70 years ago.
Don't you kind of miss those?
Not so much, no.
I thought they were in it because they're one thing you could actually repair as a homeowner. You know, in fact, you had to, but you never do. I always say I have broken ropes in all my windows now. They're just hanging in there. But I think, well, I could repair that. You know what I'm saying? It's nice to have that feeling that you could repair something.
Yes, more of the products now are built with components that you have to buy separately and have
to get new fenestration, like totally fenestration.
Yes.
Fenestration unit.
That would be best, yes, especially from those companies that make them.
How's your glazing? Pretty good?
Glazing is very good, yes.
You do your own fenestration at home?
Occasionally, yes, sometimes.
Did you build your place? Or?
I just keep an eye on things. No, it's an older home, but I make sure that everything is still sound.
Well, very nice. I'm glad you're here for the fenestration conference, I know, but thank you for stopping by.
I appreciate it.
Great to see you. He's a good man. He's a good man to know. Brad Schultz, fenestration inspector in Plano, Texas.
let's see here now. Just visited the farmer's market. If the emu tastes like chicken, shouldn't I just buy the chicken? Jim Williamson. Here. Oh, hey, Jim. Could I get you a stand-up or something just so, you know? Okay, no, that's all right. You're right. Is it?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
How'd you do that?
Sitting in the car on the way up here from Omaha.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of car is that?
It's a Subaru.
Subaru? Ford. Were you in the back of a Subaru?
I was on passenger side. My wife was driving.
Yeah, okay. Did she corner rather rapidly, and did your back leave the vehicle at a certain point?
I tried to get her not to do that kind of thing.
Anyway, this emu thing, is there actually emu for sale?
Yeah, I saw that, and we were looking at the different things at the market.
Emu roast or chops, or what did you get off an emu?
It was a steak or something.
Did you get it? Did you buy it?
I did not, no, but I think there's jerky, emu jerky.
Emu jerky, ooh. Because that, you know, that's that stuffed creature there is supposed to be an emu, so I couldn't possibly eat one because it would be stuffed, and I absolutely, you know, not even real. So you didn't get it?
No, it's grilling season's up, so. It's coming up.
Anyone grill emu here? Anyone done any emu grilling? Okay, well, that's a dead end.
Thank you.
Sit down and rest that back there. Slide down in the seat best you can. Thank you very much. Jim Williamson. You drove all the way from Omaha?
What?
Somebody? Drive from Omaha?
Oh, yeah.
Omaha in a Subaru is going to be a tough road.
We have plenty of music, though.
Plenty of music. You need some booze, actually, for that trip. You just stop every few feet and get something to drink. That's the way to do it. You were driving, right? You're a perfectly good driver.
Excellent driver.
The most excellent driver.
Yes.
Okay, so just wanted to make that clear. Lowell Nordling, not again. God, he's everywhere. It's Lowell Nordling's What Do You Know, ladies and gentlemen. He's standing up this time. He's up. God, he's tall, too.
Can't help it.
Yeah.
Either.
And I bet you were even taller at one point, weren't you?
At one point. Up here.
Yeah. Now, what field did you say you're in?
Real estate.
Before that, did you do anything else?
Well, I did a lot of things.
What did you do before? Right before real estate, what'd you do?
Investments. Securities.
Before that, did you ever do anything physical? I mean, you seem like a guy who could do a lot of physical stuff.
Oh, no, not really.
No?
Not real physical.
No? Huh? Bill collector, anything like that? You ever done bill collecting? Yes. What does he do that's physical?
Oh, no. He helps with lots of projects around the house.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I
bet he could rough guys up, is what I'm thinking.
I ask him to build something, and he does it.
Yeah. If you ask him to rough somebody up, would he do that for you?
I don't think so.
pretty big galoot.
Odd jobs all over the place.
What's your oddest job you've done around the house?
When we were very young, you know, and we lived in Minnesota, and we had a wood stove, and then, oh, a space heater. And then down the hall were the bedrooms. Well, the heat never really got down there, so he rigged up a fan above the space heater that would blow we lived in student housing, and it was cold. The water.
Yeah,
it's Minnesota. I think we had frozen pipes many, many times, and it was bad.
Yeah, did he fix those too?
Well, he told me that we have to leave the water running, and so that solved it.
And you have to leave Minnesota is really what you have to do. Leave the water running and leave the state, I think. And Lolia, is there any questions I can answer for you? I've been pummeling you with questions.
I was wondering what's the secret to your success?
You mean this question here, what you attribute your success?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing I attribute my lack of success to, pretty much. It's pretty much, both just a, it's a crapshoot.
You define it?
No.
What success is, then?
Success?
Then it's easy to achieve it.
Right. You define it looking back, saying, well, that was successful, wasn't it? Okay.
That was good.
Well, it's once again happy birthday.
Thank you much.
And I hope this isn't the extent of it. Are you taking him somewhere tonight? Are you going out for some food?
Actually, we are going out tonight. Yeah. We're invited out to dinner.
You are?
Yes, some friends.
Oh,
At their house? Or?
Yes, at their house. Fixing everything for us, and it's very nice.
About time. You know, how long have you known these people? They've never...
And then they're having company from Minnesota, so that's... we're going to enjoy the
a lot of stories.
Yep.
Pipe stories. I can see them coming now in Minnesota. Oh, I'm sorry, Lowell. And then I stepped on you after all that. Yeah. Lowell Darling, he looks terrific. Okay. Do you have an exercise regime to stay fit? No, I have one to stay unfit, though. But it's very successful. Thank you for asking. We have a retired rabbi. I didn't know you could. Is that you? A retired? This is what a retired rabbi. Look, you look like a lumberjack. He was a rabbi up in the North Woods, pretty much. And did you do some lumberjacking along the way?
Nope.
Rabbi?
Nope. I was in the Air Force.
Air Force lumberjack rabbi. leave a show for Fox.
Leave off the lumberjack part.
Yeah. Never did any lumberjacking?
Nope.
But where did the suspenders come from then?
Hold
your pants up. So, okay, how can you retire from being... It's like the mafia. You can't quit being a rabbi, isn't it?
I just quit.
You did?
I just retired.
How do you do that?
How do you do it? You leave what you're doing and go somewhere
you can't
else.
Get, like, de-circumcised or something like that. The damage is done.
You leave the congregation and you move 1,000 miles away.
Really? Do you tell the congregation or you just slip out in the night?
You tell them a little bit.
Decertify you? The rabbi board decertify?
I'm still a rabbi, but I'm retired. I don't have a congregation.
Yeah. This is a Jewish rabbi, are we talking about?
Of course.
Not a Congregationalist rabbi or something.
I'm a Jewish rabbi.
Episcopalian rabbi.
Right.
Orthodox or?
You know, in the Air Force, the priest would always call me the Jewish rabbi.
Yeah.
And to stop them from calling me the Jewish rabbi, I used to call them the unwed fathers. And that stopped it.
I can't believe he gave all that up. Air Force Rabbi. Irvin, what's the last name?
Ehrlich.
Irvin Ehrlich. Air Force Rabbi. This week. That sounds perfect. Well, what are you doing now that you're retired? What do you do?
Just do a couple things around the house and run a couple of databases. And
Running databases?
Yep.
Still involved in religion and all
still
that?
In religion and condo association, all that kind of stuff.
The religion and the condo association.
Right. No, they're separate.
That's separate. Okay. Very nice to meet you, Rabbi. Can I still call you Rabbi, or I can't call you ex-Rabbi? Yeah. Call him late for dinner? Okay, fine. When should I have children? Well, if you have to ask, you probably don't want to have them, I think. You know. I never had any say in that. Are you thinking about having children?
Based on your answer.
What? Oh, yeah. Are you single?
No, this is my wife.
Oh, hi. How are you? Shouldn't you ask her? That'd be the way to go. Before you go to me, I would think, you know, I would just, she's sitting right next to you, say, when should I have children? I never found out about mine until they happened. So I'm the wrong guy to ask anyhow. I was informed, and I wasn't the first to know, either, to tell you the truth. I was rather shocked. I didn't see how it could have been. Anyway, but think about it and talk it over, kids. No. She's shaking her head no, and she's giving this. Okay. So it won't happen soon, is what I predict. Well, I'll tell you what, in that case, that's a dead end. Let's go right now to the What Do You Know quiz again, because you saw it work the first time. Pretty darn good. And let's see if you can, you want to try this? The guy who wants to have kids? Or wants to know if he should have kids? Okay. Why not? Seems like an interesting fellow. Come on out here. Come on. Come on. Forget about this kid stuff. What age are you exactly?
Well, I am 25 tomorrow.
25 tomorrow? Yeah, it's too soon to think about this kind of thing. Have them at 40 like I did. And you know, you're already losing your memory anyhow, so it's not a big deal. And your name is?
Sarkis.
Sarkis?
Yes.
Is that first name?
That is my first name.
What's your last name?
Wendland.
Sarkis Wendland. Yes. That should be up in lights. That sounds like
a
writer or something.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Musician, Sarkis.
I am a musician.
You are?
I am.
What do you play?
I play guitar, banjo, mandolin, violin.
Well, what don't you play then?
I don't play piano.
Okay. You got to draw a line somewhere. Sarkis, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I always wanted to be on television.
Okay. Can I help you? I can't really...
I figured this would be a good stepping stone.
Right, okay, that's what I thought, too. Go on, Sarkis. Sarkis! It's not that easy to do this.
This is comfy.
Yeah, it's very comfy. Naga hide. You pay a little extra, but it's worth it. What's a Sarkis? Where hail you from?
I'm from Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Manitowoc, beautiful Manitowoc.
Yes, very beautiful.
Manitowoc. Ever do any surfing out there?
No, but yesterday on my way home, I thought if I was a surfer,
yeah,
this would be a good day to do it.
A lot of waves. There is some guy out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Manitowoc and Sheboygan and around those places. Isn't there?
Yeah, they surf a little bit.
Yeah, they surf out there.
I think it's maybe more than one.
No, it's just the one.
Just one guy.
And he's on an ironing board because they don't really have the equipment.
Not a lot of surf shops in Manitowoc.
Yeah. So do you make a living as a musician?
No. I don't think I've ever made money as a musician, to be honest.
Well, then you are a musician. That proves it.
You truly are.
That proves it.
I'm a teacher. I'm a public school teacher.
Oh, what do you teach?
I teach math and reading.
You do?
But ironically, I went to school to be a history teacher.
Yeah. And you teach math and reading. That's cool. What grades are we talking?
7th and 8th grade.
Oh, cool.
At L.B. Clark Middle School.
L.B. Clark.
So if any of my middle school students are listening right now, that's a shout out to them.
Is that here in town?
No, that's in Two Rivers.
Oh, it's
Wisconsin.
In Two Rivers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Trivers or TR as people there. Yes, Trivers.
Trivers. Oh, I got you. Okay. Is that near Combined Locks?
I'm sorry?
Combined Locks?
Combined Locks?
No.
No.
Not near Trivers? Combined Locks? Okay. Just checking. Sarkis. So reading and math.
Reading and math, yes.
Interesting. Crossing some boundaries there.
Well, I teach like a Title I class. So mm-hmm. It's students who struggle in math and reading.
Yeah.
I give them extra support.
More reason to struggle is what you
more yes.
Yeah. Well, that's really very cool. That's really cool.
Thank you.
And she doesn't want to talk about this children thing. I wouldn't bring it
I don't up. Think so. I don't think so.
Or talking about
I thought it would be a funny question.
No, it's not. Believe me. After all these years, it's still not a funny question. But, you know, you raise kids and then they leave. So what's the point? You know, I can't figure out what that's all about. You know, that's the feeling I'm right now. I'm an empty nester right now, you know. I raised this girl, spent a lot of time at it. It was, you know, kind of, you know, did the best I could. You know, keep them alive and get out of their way. Those are my two tips for parenthood. Keep them alive, get out of their way.
That seems easy enough.
Yeah, and as soon as they get a chance, they leave. What's the point? They don't tell you that in parenthood school. Okay, anyhow. So anyhow, we're going to play the quiz here. Do you know how this works, Sarkis?
I think I picked it up from the first game.
Yeah, okay.
Answer some questions.
Yeah. What do you do for kicks?
Like things I do for fun?
Yes, that's what I mean.
I play kickball for kicks, but I...
Okay, you're so literal, Sarkis.
I enjoy reading and music.
Oh, yeah.
I collect vinyl records.
Well, you do vinyl? Vinyl guy? What's your most precious disc?
My favorite
LP
is probably my Bob Marley Kaya record.
Bob Marley? Yeah.
Yeah.
You and do 78s too, or you just leave it to the LPs?
Just LPs.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, they just released the 35th anniversary edition of that, but the LP doesn't come with a live concert the way the CD does.
Oh, no.
So I was a little disappointed.
But you got the whole thing there in the good condition?
I have a first pressing, so in very good condition. My wife bought
mint?
It for me.
Would you say mint?
No, not mint. Definitely not mint.
No.
But been good played. Condition. Yep.
Well kept. Okay. Sarkis over there plays along with you, and how do they do that there?
Yeah, people who want to play the quiz, pick up their phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, I do.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me that sooner? I would have had it here. Here's another ratio or a percentage. Let's do percentage. Easier than ratios. Okay. percentage of Americans who think the way to get rich is the old-fashioned way by inheriting it. So we need a percentage here of Americans within how many percent?
10.
Okay. Who think the best way to get rich is the old-fashioned way, by inheriting it. Let's go to the phones right now. Gene's on the line from Erie, PA. Hey. Hey, Gene.
Hi.
How's things in Erie? I've been there in a while. I like Erie.
It is sunny and beautiful.
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
Can you get out on the water there if you need to?
If I want to.
Do you want to?
No.
No, okay. Have you got a boat or any sort of contrivance that'll float?
I do not. No. I have legs and arms, and I could swim if I so desired, but I don't.
Yeah. Is the water still pretty green, though, this time of year?
Cold, yes. It's like cold 47 degrees. Yeah. 47 degrees.
Oh, that's too cold.
The water, the air temperature is 62 right now.
Yeah, and the water you don't know about. It's like here, same thing.
It's cold.
Yeah. Gene.
Yes.
The percentage of Americans think the way to get rich is the old-fashioned way, by inheriting.
I'm going to say, well, these days, I'd say maybe 80.
Ooh, that's a little high there, Gene.
Oh,
you
bummer.
Know, I'm willing to give you a lot of latitude, but that's a lot of latitude.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Okay. We got Allison on the line here from Amelia Island.
Hello.
Hi, how's life down there?
Beautiful. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you.
We were there one time.
That's what I heard. Well, we saw you in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But did you actually come to the island?
Yes, we did.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's so beautiful out there.
Sorry, I missed you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you just saw me and didn't want to meet me.
Well, we wanted you to, be right here in the neighborhood. It's beautiful here, huh?
Excellent. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Percentage of Americans who think the best way to get rich is to inherit it.
And can you tell me Gene's answer again?
Yeah, he said something preposterous.
Okay.
Like
I'm 18%.
18, and we said, huh, what's our...
Within 10%.
Okay, you got it. 25%.
Yay, wow. Great.
We all know that that's the best way to do it. I don't know why they were 25%.
Well, lucky for those people, huh?
Yeah. Allison, what do you do down there in Amelia?
I'm a special education teacher.
Oh, excellent.
And I teach preschoolers. So this year I have 8 3- and 4-year-old boys in my class, all with autism or Asperger's.
That's something. And so we have 2 teachers here. Sarkis is here.
Yeah, that's
Sarkis,
great.
Allison.
Hello.
Hello.
Conversation, kind of break room talk. That's what you hear in the break.
We're teachers, so we're very tired of talking.
Yeah,
probably.
Yes. No, I bet.
Yes.
Two of you work together, you collaborate. We have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. We have the categories of current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Okay, Allison, pick first one. What'd you like?
Maybe current events.
Current events. Okay, Mars. The Mars rover has appeared to inscribe something on the red planet, causing quite a bit of stir in the galaxy. What was that something? Talk it over now. Sarkis, Allison.
Sarkis, you got this one?
I do. I don't know how to say it on the radio, though.
Say it the way you would to anybody.
It's a...
Somebody in a bar. How would you say it to somebody in a bar?
A reproductive organ, correct?
Uh-huh.
Don't beat around the bush. Just say exactly what you... You can just use the medical term.
Use the medical term.
I know there is one. I forget.
Is it a penis?
Anyone have a problem with that? I don't think so. So you're saying they, for some reason, the rover...
I really hope I'm right, because if I'm wrong...
otherwise, then you're just weird, you know? I can see Elvis. Elvis.
I really hope L.B. Clark students aren't listening.
No. Don't worry, they're not listening. Are you kidding to this? Allison, you go along with penis?
I'm going to agree with that.
Yes, that's what it is. Look at it. What else do they call it? That's the name. I'm being technical.
I missed that in the news.
It's a very big deal right now. It's gone viral.
Yeah.
It's gone viral.
That's 1 right and 0 wrong.
Okay. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right. What's left?
The categories remaining are people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Yeah.
Is it my choice?
And that, you know, it's going to last for like 100 million years on Mars. There's nothing to disturb it. That's a cool thing if you do something like that on Mars.
Let's do places.
Places, because there's probably not that in here. Okay. Is it true about Prince Charles and coffee enemas?
How is that in places?
He's taking a disturbing turn.
Places? He's in, we're in the UK, right? That's a place. Prince Charles, right? He's in the UK.
Sure. Okay.
Is it true about Prince Charles and coffee enemas?
Is what true?
You have to ask them, obviously. You don't know if it's true or not, do you?
True what they say, huh?
I have no idea, Allison.
Does he favor them, let's say?
I have no idea. You know, typically, you know, a lot of things people say aren't true.
Okay. So what are you saying?
It's 50-50.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I guess I would go false. It is not true.
Where I would agree with that.
What? You agree with that?
I mean, I'll agree with that.
Well, I'm sorry. He raves about him.
Maybe not.
Oh. Prince Charles is a big toy. He is. I read this. He is. Yes, he is. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Look it up.
That, sadly, is one right and one wrong. Oh. It's way more information than we needed.
No, I'm just saying Prince Charles is kind of, he's a cutting edge on a lot of things.
Oh, sure. Mm.
The remaining categories are people...
Stiff upper lip, yes, that's what they say. I have no idea. Yes.
Remaining categories, people, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Allison?
Okay, I'm going to go with odds and ends.
The FDA has banned a French cheese called Mimolette.
Mimolette.
For what reason? One of the following reasons, the FDA banned it for American consumption. French cheese, Mimolette, for one of the following reasons. Is it made with mites? Mites? Is it radioactive, or is it really, really stinky? So you got your mites, radioactive, or really, really stinky? Reasons for banning this French cheese.
I think mites.
Mites? That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think
mites.
Yes, you're
mites.
Absolutely right. I wouldn't have thought that at all. Mites give it a nice little bite.
That's
nice little bite to it.
Two right and one wrong.
A little mite bite.
Sounds yucky.
The French know what they're doing with cheese, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe might. categories remaining are people, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay.
I don't want to do the things I should have learned in school.
Okay, things you should have learned.
Because I'm a school teacher.
Is that what you want?
Absolutely. I agree with you there.
So let's go with
people. We could go for it.
People?
People.
People. Sounds good.
Percentage of Americans who put ketchup on their eggs or catsup. Is it 18, 30, or 41%?
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. 41. What do you think, Sarkis?
I was thinking either 41 or 30.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Which one were you thinking?
I was going to wait for Allison's answer. So I'm going to agree with her, 41.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, it's 30%.
Oh.
30%.
Oh, my God.
No, it's going down to the wire.
It is down to the wire.
Right, down to the wire. That's it. Okay, we got to get this in quick
yep,
now.
Yep, we got two right
we
and two wrong.
What's left?
Things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or science?
Science, Allison?
Well, I think we're going to go for the school.
All right.
School?
All right.
In school. Let's
okay.
Be brave.
Flammable, unflammable, and inflammable. Which one burns?
Oh.
Which one burns? Flammable.
Flammable, unflammable, inflammable.
I've got to agree with Allison.
What?
Flammable.
Flammable.
Flammable?
Flammable burns.
Flammable, yes.
Yep.
Yes, I'm going to agree.
You agree with that?
Yes.
She
sounds
okay,
confident.
Well, they all do.
Yes.
They all mean the same darn thing. Holy cow, they cleaned it up.
Sarkis, celebrate your quiz victory in fine Fargo fashion with a bottle of wood chipper rhubarb wine from the Maple River Winery in historic Castleton, North Dakota. Allison, become an expert on just about anything and everything, perusing What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can recapture all the nearly decade-old excitement of the 2004 Indianapolis 500 with a DVD packed with bonus material. material and features, and entertain well into the future with What Do You Know the Party Game, including the sartorially correct Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Nice job, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Hang on, Allison. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Ben Sidran and Lyle Anderson. This is Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
Public Radio International.